Talking to Jesus changed the life of every person who spent time with him 2,000 years ago. Every person who crossed paths with him and had the opportunity to engage him in a conversation was transformed in some way, shape, or form. And that happened even on Easter Sunday morning, that first Easter Sunday. People, when they engaged in conversation with Jesus, it changed their lives. Some of you are going, well, duh. You're talking to a resurrected person would really change everybody's life, don't you think? But yeah, I suppose. But Jesus has that effect on all of us. Whenever we encounter Jesus, he will change us. Depending on how we respond to him, it'll either change us for the better or it'll make us harder, depending on how we respond. So we're going to talk about a couple of people today who ran into Jesus on a road. They were walking, but they didn't run into him. He joined their conversation. In Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 43, I'm going to read a lot of it. Not all of it, but I'm going to read a lot of it. Luke chapter 13. I knew I should have drank coffee this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That same day, the Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, two of the disciples. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. I started thinking to myself, what were they thinking about? Or what were they talking about? It's everything that had happened. So what was going on in the conversation? I think part of the conversation had to have gone back to, do you remember that day that Peter said to Jesus, "You're the Christ, the Son of God"? And Jesus said, "Yes, Peter, you're right. Don't tell anybody." I still don't understand what that was about. Can you hear him just... They're just talking about that. And then we saw all kinds of miracles. There were blind people who could see. There were deaf people who could hear. There were demons that Jesus cast out. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He fed thousands of people with a sack lunch. It was awesome. And then just a week ago on Sunday, we came in and people were waving palm branches and laying things down and yelling, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." So great things were happening. And then Thursday, middle of the night, he's arrested. First the religious leaders put him on trial, then Pilate puts him on trial, and Pilate shipped him off to Herod because he was trying to pass the buck, and Herod shipped him back because Jesus wouldn't talk to him, and Pilate finally turns him over to be beaten and abused, and finally gives him to the crowd to be crucified, and he died, and they buried him, and then there's this crazy story the women started telling this morning. Now, I'm going to take us back 2,000 years, and we need to understand this, okay? And I do not intend to insult women because I'm married one. I have 3 daughters. I have 5 granddaughters. I have a sister. I'm totally outnumbered in my family, okay? So, and I think women are awesome. So, I'm just going to take you back 2,000 years to what their culture was. Women could not even testify in court. Women, the assumption was women just didn't know anything. They couldn't, if a woman said something, even if it made sense, you didn't believe her. That was, okay, so I'm going to stop right here and say, for everybody who says the apostles made up the whole story of the resurrection, if they did, they were morons. If you're going to make up a story, the first thing you do is you don't make women the stars of the story. In a culture that says women don't know what they're talking about. Just think about it. I'm not saying women don't know what they're talking about, because obviously God thought they knew what they were talking about because he made them the stars of the story. Around, make sure there are no daggers flying at me. Okay. No hymn books or Bibles either. Okay, so here, but the women have gone to the tomb. It's empty. They've come back and they're babbling about angels and they're, you know, crying and they're not making any sense, because everybody knows when a person's dead and buried, they're dead and buried. And if they're not buried anymore, it's not because they're gone, and it doesn't matter what, if you're having hallucinations or something, I don't know. But Peter went and he said it is empty, but he didn't see angels. See, we had to have a man confirm this, and he went and he didn't see Jesus. By the way, I don't start counting with me. They didn't see Jesus. Those are the things they were talking about. As they talked and discussed these things, it tells us in verse 15, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened these days?" "What things?" I love Jesus, because I think he has the same kind of ironic sense of humor I do. This is the dude that everything happened to, and he's going, like, "What things? What are you guys talking about?" About Jesus, they said. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." All their hopes were gone because he was dead. And now, that what is more, they said, "It's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body." Third time. "They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, I'm counting how many times they didn't see Jesus, in case you're wondering, what are those fingers for? "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him to strongly stay with us. It's almost sundown. And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and then he disappeared. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And they got up, and they returned at once to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 and those with them and all the other disciples, apparently. And they told them, it's true. The Lord has risen and appeared to Simon, to Peter. And then these two said, this is what happened to us. And we recognized him when he broke bread for us. And they were all talking about it. Listen, as they were all talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. We're up to number 6. They're looking right at him, and they still don't see him. Again, he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have a body. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of the joy and amazement, I love it. They're looking at him, they're touching him, and they're still going, it can't be. Do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So as I was reading through this, and I just started going, they didn't see him. Even when they saw him, they didn't see him. Why didn't they see Jesus? Why didn't they believe their own eyes when they saw Jesus? And then this question came to my mind. I don't know if I should blame God or just, I'm going to give God credit because it was a good question. Why don't we see Jesus? So it's so, you know, it's so easy to read the events in the Bible and go, well, it's so plain. It's like the nose on your face, and then all of a sudden go, yeah, well, when was the last time you looked at your nose, Mark? Why don't we see Jesus? So I've been pondering that. I think we have a lot of the same issues they had. Many of us have forsaken all hope of ever seeing Jesus. I'm not talking about necessarily seeing Jesus literally, physically, like with us, like they did, but like seeing Jesus at work in us or around us. You know, what kept them from recognizing Jesus when he walked up to them and goes and asked, what are you guys talking about? Two things I noticed. One is they were looking at the ground. It's really hard to recognize somebody when you're looking at their feet. Dirty feet all pretty much look like dirty feet because that's all everybody would have had right there. They were wearing sandals and walking on a dirt road. Unless Jesus had distinguishing warts on his big toes or something. I don't know. He's, right? And the other thing is, you don't expect to see dead people. I'm going to ask a difficult question for us to ponder. For how many of us is Jesus really a dead person? Okay, no, we're celebrating Easter, Mark, so Jesus isn't dead. He's not in the tomb. Okay, so for how many of us is Jesus just out there a long ways away? Reminds me of one of my professors when I was in school. He said, when he was in school, one of his professors opened prayer, like the class, with a prayer that went something like this: Dear God, who may possibly be out there somewhere, maybe listening, we possibly hope that you might help us today. It's a good thing I wasn't there, because I'm the guy in the back of the room going, why bother? And that's where a lot of us live. We feel like he's so far out there, we have forsaken all hope of ever seeing him at work. Why bother looking? Why don't we see Jesus? Some of us are fascinated. We're fascinated by something else. Some of the first disciples have been. Some of the first people to follow Jesus, they were fascinated by miracles. Jesus fed thousands with the sack lunch, and they came around the next day, and Jesus looked at him and said, you know, the only reason you're here is you want me to feed you again. So here's lunch for today. I'm the bread of life. What? Yeah, I'm the bread of life that sent from God. If you want eternal life, you need to eat me. He lost a lot of disciples that day. Because very few people stopped to go, what does that mean? Most of them just said, well, that's hard saying. I really just wanted a tuna fish sandwich, thank you. And they left. Not ever to try to figure out what it meant. And for those of you who are going, well, what does that mean? That's something for another sermon. We'll talk about it another time. Trust me. But we get fascinated by other things. I've seen church people who have been fascinated by all kinds of different stuff, except Jesus. And then they wonder why they don't see Jesus at work. We don't see Jesus because we're looking at other stuff. Why don't we see Jesus? We're fixated on our plans and our agendas. But the first 12 apostles had that problem. They were They argued on more than one occasion that we know of. They argued about who was the greatest and who was going to be, who was the greatest next to Jesus. I think I would have loved to have been able to listen to these conversations to see how many of them actually added, I mean, besides Jesus, I'm the greatest. I mean, there were like James and John who brought mom along to ask mom to ask Jesus to let them be number one and number two in his kingdom. Someone recently pointed out that the people who got to be next to Jesus in his kingdom were two criminals on the crosses hanging next to him. James and John had absolutely no idea what they were asking. They thought they were asking to be on thrones. That's why Jesus said, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism I've got? Are you willing to go where I have to go? They said yes. And he said, yeah, you're going to go there eventually. But it's not going to be what you think. We get fixated on our plans and our agendas and trying to make things work the way we want them to work. And then we wonder why we're not seeing Jesus at work. Because we're looking for the wrong things. Why don't we see Jesus? Many times it's because our fears control us. One of my favorite stories, Jesus and his disciples. The disciples got in a boat. Jesus made him get in a boat and leave. The storm comes up and he decides to join them. Well, actually, if I read the story correctly, he wasn't going to join them. He was just going to walk right on by, let them figure out how to get onto the other side. They're in a boat after all. He's just going to walk on by. And they see him walking on the water and freak out. And that's in the new Mark Haynes version. They freak out. And they're yelling and screaming, and again, they think it's a ghost. And this is before the resurrection. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's me. One disciple says, if it's you, tell me to come on out. It's Peter. Peter hears Jesus say, all right, come on, let's go for a walk. And Peter hops over the side of the boat, starts walking toward Jesus. Now, this is where the story, where we start giving Peter a hard time. But I'm going to take a time out here. There were 11 other disciples who did not get out of the boat. Who did not even ask about getting out of the boat. Because their fear of the water and the storm kept them in the boat. Peter's out of the boat, walking on the water. All of a sudden, he sees the waves, and he starts to sink because he stopped looking at Jesus. But the first thing he does is say, Lord, help me. And Jesus picks him up. And said, why'd you stop? Why'd you stop trusting me? Let's get in the boat. But most of us live like the 11 and never get out of the boat. Most of us let our fears control us. We are constantly looking for security and comfort and what's going to keep us safe. And then we wonder, why can't we see Jesus? So what's the bottom line? Why don't we see Jesus? Because we fail to look for Jesus. Let's pray. Open our eyes, Holy Spirit. We really do want to see Jesus. It's going to cost us, though. We know that. We recognize that. We want to see Jesus more clearly. So there are things we will have to let go. There are things we're going to have to let go of. And we want to see everything else from his perspective so that these things that we tend to be fascinated by, or the plans and agendas and the fears, we need to see them from his perspective. We need to see people the way Jesus does. We need to see ourselves the way he does. And we need to see the people around us the way he does. So Holy Spirit, open our eyes to help us to see Jesus at work in us. And in the people around us. Help us to see Jesus at work in all of us much more clearly than we notice our brokenness. Oh, it is so easy to spot our own personal brokenness and the brokenness in other people. It is so easy for us to nitpick and complain and grumble about ourselves and other people. We want you to flip that script for us so that it becomes easier for us to see Jesus at work and thank him for what he's doing in us and in other people. And there's really only one thing that can do that, and that is your love, your grace, and your mercy miraculously changing us from the inside out. And when we do notice weaknesses in us and in others, fill us with Jesus' compassion, with his mercy, his grace. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our ears so we can hear his voice as he whispers to us, "You are mine." I love you. Let's go change the world. Amen. Well, again, thanks. Those of you who joined us to celebrate Easter on site, and those who joined us online, if you have not joined the Facebook group, Champions of Hope, we invite you to do that. Love to have you do that. And as a reminder, just like the Father sent Jesus to change this world with his love, his grace, and his mercy, we are sent to do the same. Well, just like the Father did not send Jesus out all by himself, he sends us out with the Holy Spirit to go with Jesus. And so, your sin, go with Jesus.